Masechet Moed Katan Daf Dalid. We're starting off with a fascinating topic that we began to discuss already, which is the law that during a Shavuot, here's the outline of what we're going to see today. We're going to start about Rabban Gamliel's leniency for the sixth year. We're going to talk about water flowing from pools and watering from one field to another, watering veggies to eat on Chol HaMoed. So all this will be talking here about Chol HaMoed and then digging ditches on Chol HaMoed. This is what our Mishnah is talking about. But since the Mishnah did mention Shavuot and the permission to water the field during the Shavuot year, we are still involved in Shavuot. And we know that there is a law that one is not allowed to plow the field, even during the end of the sixth year. But Rabban Gamliel came around and he was lenient for that. Okay, we're going to ask, how can we reverse one biblical derivation with another? This is really fascinating. Okay, so let's remind ourselves where we are. Rabban Gamliel and his Beit Din came together and they said, no, you don't have to worry about stopping to plow from Pesach and from Shavuot. They permitted it. And we wondered, how could Rabban Gamliel come and permit it if, after all, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai prohibited it? And there were a previous and greater Beit Din. What authority does Rabban Gamliel have to come and permit it? And our answer was, with a Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, when they made the prohibition, they built into it an exit clause. And they said, if any future Beit Din wants to undo it, they can. We don't want to impose this on all future generations. But then we wondered, wait, this origin of the prohibition of extending into the sixth year is not from Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It goes back. It's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which we can tell because we have this statement that says the 10 saplings, that's an exception to the rule, 10 little saplings, you're allowed to plow that field anytime in the sixth year, because otherwise they'll die altogether. Well, we can infer from that if they were grown, then they would not be allowed. So you see, this is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Rabban Gamliel doesn't have the authority to go ahead and undo an oral tradition going all the way back. And so we saw one answer, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. That halacha is talking about 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is not allowed. And then Beit Hillel ben Shammai came and extended it and said no plowing to the holidays before. And then the Rabban Gamliel came and said, you know what, I'm going to nullify what Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai added, because they stipulated that they, if someone changes their mind, they can undo. But he didn't change the 30 days. And that's how we resolved it. In fact, the Rabban Gamliel does not have the authority to undo. Okay, that's where we are right now. And now we come back with an even greater challenge. This prohibition of plowing a field during the sixth year, is it merely it's actually in the Pesukim itself, which is even a higher authority. How do we see that? Ditnan Mishnah says, Becharish u'bakasir tishpot, Rabbi Akiva omer. Remember this pasuk that says 6 days you could work and the seventh day not. Rabbi Ishmael, we'll see in a second, says this is talking about Shabbat. 6 days of Shabbat you can work and the seventh you can't. And it explains it's talking about agricultural work. But Rabbi Akiva says this pasuk is talking about Shavuot. And when it says Becharish Bakasir Tishpot, it means regarding plowing and regarding reaping, one must not do that on the Shavuot year. So Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva says about that. En tzarich lomar charish v'kasir shel Shavuot, sh'hari kevar ne'emar, sadecha lo tizra v'charmecha lo tizmor, et tzefiyah kisirecha lo tiksor, and so on. And so we have a pasuk here in Vayikra that already tells me I'm not allowed to reap during the Shavuot year. And so therefore, Bakatsir, back in Shemot, is unnecessary. Why do I have two Pesukim telling me the same thing about reaping on the Shavuot? Ela Charish Shel Erev Shavuot. Rather, the Pesuk in Shemot is not talking about reaping during the sixth year, but rather plowing and reaping. Since it's all going to be talking about one thing, let's go talking about plowing during the previous, the sixth year, not the seventh year. Shenichnas l'shavit, getting going into the seventh. Ve'kasir shashavit she'asad moseh shav shavit. And when it says reaping, we have that already. Oh, the reaping is the eighth year after the seventh year. And this teaches, the pasuk in Shema teaches me, mid'oraita, explicit pasuk, more or less, that I have to extend shavit, I can't plow in the sixth year to prepare for the seventh. And anything that grows on the seventh, I can't reap on the eighth. And so now we see it's actually a deoraita law in the Torah itself. The Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Macharei Shireshut, Afkasi Reshut, Yasa Kesira Omer, Shehi Misvah. Rabbi Yishmael says, that pasuk is not talking about Shavit, it's talking about Shabbat. And it's telling me, you're not allowed on Shabbat to plow or reap anything that you want to do for your own, for you, because you want to grow things and you want to reap things that you're not allowed to do. But if it's for a mitzvah, and the key example is the Korban HaOmer that we bring on the second day of Pesach, and from then on, now you can eat all the new grain. That is a special mitzvah to actually go and cut that barley, not have it cut before, but cut it on the second day. And even if that second day will end up being is Shabbat, nevertheless, we go out on Shabbat itself and we will cut that barley. This was a big controversy from the Sadducees, who said, now you're violating Shabbat, because they didn't agree with that, that was the day. Okay, nevertheless, Bishmael learns from here that even on Shabbat, you can do reaping if it's for a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yishmael says it's not talking about Shavuot at all. Okay, now that we know that, we can come back. Ela amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ki gemiri hilchata l'mishrei yalda, kera'e l'mesar zikena. Now we have to understand, how come we have both a pasuk and a halacha m'shem Sinai? Why do we need both? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, the halacha comes to teach me that if it's a sapling, it's permitted. If I have 10 saplings in a certain area, then I can plow it to keep them alive. And the pasuk, that comes to tell me that I'm not allowed to plow mature trees. That's why I need both. Good. We challenge Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Wait, even if I only had the halacha m'shem Sinai that says saplings that really need the plowing or else they'll die, that's permitted, then I know if that's permitted, that means any other case, mature trees are not allowed. I don't need a pasuk then. So why do I need the pasuk if I already have this halacha m'shem Sinai? Ela, a new answer. The halacha m'shem Sinai to teach me that I can't do plowing during the sixth year, that's for the Bishmael. Because the Bishmael said the pasuk is talking about Shabbat. So he has no derivation from the Torah about not plowing the sixth year. So according to the Bishmael, it's halacha m'shem Sinai. According to the Bi'akiva, who applies that pasuk in Shemot to Shavuot, he has the pasuk. Okay, good. So it's one or the other, depending on Bishmael or the Bi'akiva. Either a halacha m'shem Sinai or a pasuk. Okay, good. Now that we know all that, we're going to come back to our original question and say, what did Amon Gamliel do, right? That he undid what happened before, right? How did he do that? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, we saw one answer from Rabbi Yitzchak already. Rabbi Yochanan gives a second answer. Rabban Gamliel betino mideoraita batilehu. Rabban Gamliel, you know what he did? He found another pasuk, and he was able to use that other pasuk to undo the original law. So even if the original law was halacha m'shem Sinai or an explicit pasuk, that's okay. He has a counter pasuk. Let's see. What's his counter pasuk? My tama. Gamar Shabbat Shabbat mi Shabbat Bereshit. Malahlan hi asura lefaneh ulachareha mutarin. Afkan hi asura lefaneh ulachareha mutarin. We see that both the seventh day and the seventh year are both called Shabbat. So Shabbat Bereshit, meaning that's Shabbat, the seventh day of the week. Just like regarding regular Shabbat, the day itself, Saturday itself, Friday and Saturday is prohibited, but before and after is permitted, right? Right now, it's Moaseh Shabbat, is permitted, right? We can do melacha. Actually, the truth is there is a mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. You should add a few minutes before, a few minutes after. Okay, but that's just a short time, a few minutes, not, you know, the equivalent would be for Shavuot, was we're talking about adding 30 days or many months back to Pesach. So it's nothing quite like that. Okay, so just like on Shabbat, it's only Shabbat, maybe just a few minutes, no big deal. Afkani asura lefaneh ulachareha mutarin. So too, Shavuot will be the same as Shabbat. And Shavuot also, only that year, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's what's prohibited, but before and after is permitted. What you have here is something quite amazing, right? That we had previously either an explicit pasuk or halacha m'shem Sinai that says sixth year plowing prohibited. And yet, Amon Gamliel comes and makes a Gezer HaShava, and through that Gezer HaShava says, oh, look, see, I have supported the Torah, even though he just made this derivation. And he says, therefore, it's permitted. And he votes with his Bet Din, and he does it. Shows you the power of rabbinic interpretation and Beit Din even to undo a previously understood law with highest authority. Okay, so because of this challenge, Matkif la Rav Asher. Rav Asher disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, who said that before. Manda mar hilchata, acha gezera shava akra hilchata, o manda mar kera, acha gezera shava akra kera. So whichever way you follow, that the prohibition was a halacha Moshe Sinai, can you come and make a gezera shava and undo a halacha? Or if you say it was a pasuk, even worse, can you make a gezera shava and undo a pasuk before? Right? What authority do you have? Okay, we know that during the time of the Amoraim, they instituted a ban on any making any new gezerot shavot, right? It says, if you don't have a gezerah shavah, if you don't have a tradition of it, then you can't make any new ones on your own. It seems that people were making a lot of gezerot shavot, it was getting out of hand. But we don't find that rule in any Tanaitic source. So during the times of the Tanaim, where the Rabban Gamliel was, they were still making new gezerot shavot. And so he was able to make a new one. And Rabbi Yochanan says that. Rav Asher says, no, I don't accept that. It doesn't make sense to me. Ela Rav Asher, Rabban Gamliel bet dino, sabri la, ki Rabbi Yishmael, d'amar hilcheta gemidi la. V'chi gemidi hilcheta, bizman shebet HaMikdash kayam, dumia dinisu chamayim. Aval bizman she'en HaMikdash kayam, la. So Rav Asher has another interpretation, another explanation of Rabban Gamliel altogether. It says, they follow Rabban Gamliel follows Rabbi Yishmael. It's not a pasuk, it's halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, already that's a little bit less of authority. And that halacha Moshe Sinai only applied when the Beit HaMikdash was around, similar to Nisu Chamayim. Remember, that halacha Moshe Sinai was comparing three things, including the saplings. And then it went on and it said also, also Nisu Chamayim, which is only applies when the Beit HaMikdash is around. And so that, therefore, once the Beit HaMikdash is not around, you don't do Nisu Chamayim anymore. And therefore, that prohibition, adding time to Shavuot, also does not apply. And so Rabban Gamliel didn't really have to do anything to uproot. It was built in to the Halacha Moshe Sinai itself that it only applies during the Beit HaMikdash. And so then he came and made that official at the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so there you go. Rav Asher is a much easier to accept in terms of the changes of authority, but Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is really quite striking in the way that he explains Rabban Gamliel reversing a previous law. Okay, so that is the first topic for today. And now we get to water flowing, right? Basically, the Mishnah said that if you have a spring, then that's permitted. You can use a spring because it's coming, it's flowing on its own. It doesn't take a lot of work. But if it's rainwater or a cistern, then you're going to have to go and bring pails and carry it. And that's going to be a lot of work. So during Chol HaMoed, we want you to be able to irrigate your field that needs irrigation because otherwise it's going to have a heavy loss. On the other hand, we don't want you to work too much. So if it's a little work, it's okay. If it's a lot of work, it's not okay. That was the Mishnah. Now we're going to deal with other cases that are kind of in between, right? And I know a spring is allowed, but what if it's water that's steadily flowing from a pool? Not a spring, but the water keeps coming from this pool of collected rainwater. Would that be okay? What about if I'm watering one field and it flows down to another field, right? Would that be okay? How about if I want to eat those vegetables on Chol HaMoed itself and I want to water them so that they'll be nice and fresh, right? And so it's helping Chol HaMoed itself, right? So these are all cases that are related to the Mishnah and other variations on it. So let's see. Avalomi me'agishamim o me'hakilon. Mishnah said, you cannot water your irrigated field from rainwater and not from something that you'll need to draw water from. Bishlama mekilon ikatir chayter. I understand if you have to draw water like in a cistern, and then that's a lot of work. Ela megeshamim ma'itir chayika. But if it's rainwater, so rainwater collects on its own and just, you know, there's a pool there, make a little channel. I don't have to draw it necessarily. I could just bring it to where I need it. So that's the question. We have two answers. Amad be ila, amad Yochanan, gezera. Sounds like it should be to be Yochanan. Gezera megeshamim atu mekilon. Oh, it's a gezera. that if I allow you to make a channel from a pool of water to your field, then you can say, oh, look, I'm allowed to use rainwater. So here I have another collection of water, but I can't make a channel. You know what? It means it's allowed, and I'll go ahead and use and draw it with a bucket. And so that's, therefore, it's a gezera. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rav Asher as Amar, megeshamim gufayhu lide mekilon atu. Rav Asher says, no, it's not because of a gezera, but rather the rainwater itself, how am I going to get it from one place to another? I'm going to use a bucket. And therefore, it's prohibited, because not because I might come to use a bucket, but because it's rainwater itself I will use a bucket for that. Okay, good. So that's the difference between them. And it's interesting that Rabbi Yochanan is a first generation Amora. Rav Asher is a sixth generation Amora in Bavel. Nevertheless, these two sages were the two that we just saw previously, two explanations for Rabban Gamliel. So they're not actually alive at the same time. They're not talking to each other. Rather, Gemara is collecting their two opinions here. Okay, so, and let's explain them. Kami palge b'Rabbi Zera. They would disagree with the following statement of Rabbi Zera. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Yirmiya, Amar Shemuel. נהרות המושכין מים מן האגמים מותר להשקות מהן בחולו של מועד. If I have this stream that comes from water, that a pool of water that was collected, right? So they have a lot of rainwater or cistern, a lot there, and as a stream that's coming straight from there. So Rabbi Zera says it's permitted to use that on Chol Moed. I'll just move the channel this way or that way to get to my field because it's flowing steadily. Now, who would agree and who would disagree? Mor itle de Rabbi Zera. Rav Asher, the second opinion here, who says it's only a problem because it might stop over here. The reason why he doesn't allow the stream is because the stream is not like a spring. It may stop, and then if it stops, then it's a problem. But this is a lot of water. This pool is steadily flowing, so therefore it's allowed. Whereas the Rabbi Yochanan says it's a gezera, will say even if this pool is steadily flowing and has lots of water, nevertheless I may come to reason if it's allowed in this case where it's steadily flowing, it must be allowed to use any rainwater, even when I have to draw it with a bucket, and therefore he would disagree with Rabbi Zera. Okay, good. Agufa. Now that we quote this Rabbi Zera, let's analyze it further. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Mirama Shmuel. Note that it's Rabbi Zera, the name of Shmuel, the first generation Babylonian Amora. Neharot ha-moshchin mayim min ha-agamim, mutar lashkot mehen b'cholo shel moed. Good, we just said a stream that's coming from a large pool of water and it's continuously flowing, I'm allowed to use it on cholo moed. It's kind of like a spring. Wait a second. Iti b'Rabbi Yirmiyah l'Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah challenged him from our Mishnah. Aval lo mimegeshamim v'lo mimekilon. This is not from drain water and not from rainwater and not from water that I have to draw. Amale Yirmiyah beri hane agamim de Babel kemaya de la paskedamu. He explained, Yirmiyah, right, my son. I guess it was younger than him. He says, no, this was said by Shmuel, who lives in Bavel. And these pools in Bavel, they are so big, it rains so much, it's like a spring that doesn't stop flowing. So therefore, keeps flowing. You don't have to worry that it will come to draw water. Whereas the Mishnah was talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where these pools of water are smaller, may come to an end. And when it ends, then you're going to go and want to draw the rest of the water. Good. Tenor Rabbanan, another case from a Braita. Hapisikot v'berechot shenitmaleu mayim me'arev yom tov. Asur lashkot mehen b'cholo shel moed. V'imaita matamayim oberet benehen mutar. Okay, I have these temporary pools or regular pools filled with water, rainwater, and they're filled from before yom tov. I'm not allowed to use it on chol ha-moed, right? Because this is not a spring, but collected water that I'm going to draw from. But it says, if there is a channel between the different pools, then it's permitted because in that case, even if one pool runs out, the other pool is connected to it and will fill it back up. And so this means there's plenty of water. I don't have to worry about it running out. Then it's kind of like a spring. Okay, good. That's a braita. Amora Imar are going to explain it. Amara papa, bahu shirubah shelota sadeh. Shota meota amatamaim. This I can only do this if from that pool of channel of water, most of my field will be irrigated, because then I'll let it go and most of the field. If not, if only a little bit of my field is going to be irrigated, then we say, oh, what about the rest of the field? And then I'm going to go and draw water and do a lot of work to exert myself to bring that water to the rest of the field. So then it wouldn't be allowed. But if it's already getting the majority of the field, then I'm not going to exert myself as permitted. Rashi is more lenient. Says even if it's not the majority of that field that can get water, and since the water is continuously coming, so I'm not going to worry. Even if it'll take more time and it won't get all water today, but eventually, look, it keeps flowing. So the constant flowing will continue and eventually get to the rest of it. So I'm not going to go exert myself on Chol HaMoed when I can just sit back and wait, and I'll be patient and the rest will be irrigated in its due time. So he's more lenient and would permit even in that case. Tenor banan, another braita. Berecha shenotefet maim misedeh bet hashlachin zo, mutal hashkop temena sedeh bet hashlachin acheret. And here, just an outline, we're going to the next thing, watering one field from to another. And so I have a pool that is receiving drips of water from one field, one field that requires irrigation, so that's permitted. I can use that drip, that runover from that one field, and bring it to, direct it towards yet another field that requires irrigation. So since the first one's getting water from a spring, and now it's coming and filling up this pool, I can bring it to the next one because the origin is from a spring. And so I know that's going to keep flowing. And even if it's indirect, it's going to one field first and then it's going collecting in a pool, but that pool itself will keep getting fed from the original spring. So that's permitted. Wait a second. But the pool, that second pool might stop flowing, right? How do you know? We're talking about a case where that's still the upper one is still trickling down, right? The upper one is still being irrigated and still filling up the pool. So therefore, I know that that pool is really like an extension of the original spring, and that's permitted. Says only if the original spring is in fact still flowing, then it's going through the upper field and it's continuing to this pool, and then this pool is continuing to the second field. So I can extend that permission from the original spring to a second field. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh omer, shetei arugot zo lema'ala mizo. I have two gardens, one higher and one lower. Lo yidle min ha'tachtona v'yashket ha'aliyona. We just talked about one case where that was permitted to go from one field to another. Here's a case where it's prohibited. This would be a case where I have water in the lower garden. I can't take a bucket and draw water from the lower to the upper, because that would be a lot of exertion to have to carry all that water up. Or even if it's one garden and it's on a hill and some of it's lower than and some of it's higher, I can't go and get the water from the lower part and bring it up to the higher part, because that also will be a lot of exertion. And we get to this next topic, which is watering vegetables on Chol HaMoed itself, to eat on Chol HaMoed. Perhaps that's allowed. Let's see a braita. Tanur banan madlin yirakot kedei le'ochlan. I can water vegetables because I want to eat them on Chol HaMoed, and I want them to be nice and fresh when I pick them. But if it's only to enhance their appearance so that they look better, or another interpretation, to make them better, so that they'll grow better for after the holiday, then that's not allowed. Only if to make it nice and fresh and better to eat on the holiday itself. Now we have a story based on this halacha. These two sages were walking on the way. They saw a person drawing water with a bucket on Chol HaMoed, and he's watering his vegetables. So one of the Rabbi Tosfa said to Ravina, let's go and excommunicate him. this is fascinating because it shows, right, the power of the rabbis. When they saw someone violating the law, they would put the person in excommunication, be tremendous pressure on the person. So they see him violating, right? We know this. We just know this halacha. This guy should know better. Amar le, Ravina answers, v'hatanya, malin lirakot kedei lochlan. We don't know. We learned that it's permitted. Maybe this man is watering his vegetables because he wants to eat it on Chol HaMoed today, maybe today, tomorrow. And so it's permitted. We can't excommunicate him. And Surah Bat Tosfah says, wait a second. You think that in this baraita, when it says you're permitted, this same baraita, when it says you're permitted to draw water for vegetables to eat them, you think that means drawing water? The word madlin doesn't mean draw water. It means something else entirely. My madlin shalufe. So the word madlin, it could come from dala, dalo dala, like to draw water. It could also come from the word dal, meaning poor. In this case, it means if you have a lot growing in the same in a single spot, it's very dense, then it's not good for the growth. I mean, you'll have a lot of produce, but it'll be low quality. And so what they would do is they would pull out some of the vegetables so that, meaning weaken it, make it poor, so that it would grow better. That's what madlin means, right? You are allowed to do that during Chol HaMoed because kedei lochlan, I wanna eat them. So I can, although it's improving the vegetable garden, I also am going to eat it. And that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about drawing water, right? It's a similar word. Sounds the same. And kiditnan, and here he can prove from a Mishnah in Pe'ah, that that's what it means. Hamedel bagifanim, someone who thins out his vineyard. Keshem shu medel b'shelo, kachu medel b'shel aniyim. This is Masechet Pe'ah. It's talking about when you have a corner of the field that you leave for the poor. And so I'm going in the main section of my field, I'm thinning out because I want to have high quality vegetables. Am I allowed to go and thin out the corner of the field for the poor people? The Rebbe Yehuda says, yes, right? Because the poor people also, they want high quality vegetables and they'd prefer it be thinned out. So I'm allowed to do that, even though it looks like I'm taking away from the poor. It's permitted. I'm doing it for myself as well. Rebbe Meir says, oh, I can thin out my own field. That's fine. But for the poor people, I can't do that because the poor people would prefer to have a lot of vegetables, even if they're lower quality, right? Otherwise, it's going to run out. They will have nothing to eat at all. So I may not do that. What's the point? You see here that the word medel means to thin out, not to draw water. And he says, no, you disagree, right? No, it's totally prohibited from drawing water. So we should excommunicate that guy. Okay, this guy, this poor farmer, right? He's going and drawing this water. He has no idea. These two rabbis are arguing, having this whole deep halachic argument that will result in him either being excommunicated or not. Okay, so he responds back. Rabbi Nasa says, another version of this braita does say, we draw, here it says the word water. So it's explicitly, obviously, it's talking about drawing water for vegetables in order to eat them. And so Rabbi Tosfa said, if you have a braita like that, then what can I give up? I retract my statement and I agree with you. And so therefore, lucky for that farmer guy, they found a source to support him, and they did not excommunicate him. Okay, good. So it's important to know all your beraitot. Otherwise, you can mistakenly ban someone. Okay, fantastic. And now we get to the last topic, which is about digging ditches and re-digging ditches and fixing ditches. And osim ugiyot lagefanim. One is not allowed to make ugiyot, is not cookies, but rather circles, a circular ditch around a vineyard. My ugiyot amar Rav Yehuda binke, ditches. That will hold the water. Tanya name hachi, we have a braita that supports this. Elohen ogiyot bididin, shebikere zetim, shebikere gefani. Misty circular ditches around olives and around grapevines. Yini, hold on, is that really so that you're not allowed to do that? V'hama Rabbi Huna, shera libne bad. Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it, but Rav Yehuda permitted this family to make ditches in their vineyards on Chol HaMoed. So it's not a problem. One's talking about new ones. You can't make new ditches. but to fix old ones. There was already a ditch, but it got filled in a little bit and you want to clear it out, that's permitted because that's less work to fix it up is less work than to make a new one altogether. Okay, and that leads into the next topic. Rabbi Elazar, or you might say flows into the next topic. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, en osin et ha'amah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was more restrictive compared to the other Tanakama. And he says, you're not allowed to make a new water channel on Chol HaMoed. Okay. And, or on Shevi'it. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Right. And the rabbis agreed with him regarding Chol HaMoed because that's a lot of work. But they said, not for Shevi'it. Shevi'it, you can make a water channel. If you're allowed to water it, you're allowed to do work on Shevi'it. Talking about or during a weekday. So what's the problem? So that's our question to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Mishlama Moed, Mishum de Katarach. On Chol HaMoed, you can't make a new water channel. That's a lot of exertion. Everybody agrees with that. Ela Shevi'it, my tama, but on Shevi'it, what's the problem? Chamim permit it. You're allowed to water, you're allowed to do work, you can exert yourself on Shevi'it. So two opinions, why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say you cannot make a new ditch on Shevi'it. One says because it looks like, it's a kind of marit ayin, it looks like you're hoeing the field, right? When you're making the ditch, you're taking a tool and moving dirt from here to there and moving it around. So it looks like hoeing. People will say, oh, look, he's hoeing on Shevi'it. Others says because that dirt that you're taking out of the ditch, you're putting it on the side. Well, that dirt on the side is prepared for planting, right? Machshir, because now this is nice and soft dirt, and then you can plant in it. So you're improving this section of land for planting. So it's not a marit ayin; it's an actual thing that you're doing. Okay, my benahu. What would be a case where one would say it's okay and one would say it's not okay? There would be a difference between them. Ika benayhu deka atu maya batre. Let's say the ditch, as I'm digging it, the water comes in right away, right? The water's already there and follows me as I dig it. If you say I'm preparing the banks for planting, well, that's still true. It doesn't matter if the water's there or not. Still wouldn't be allowed. I'm softening that dirt. Manda amar mepinesh nireke oder leka. But the one who says it's marit ayin, it looks like I'm hoeing. Well, no, since the water's coming right now, it's obvious to anyone looking that I'm making a water channel. And they'll know, oh, he's making a water channel. He's not hoeing. So that would be allowed. Good. Umanda amar mepinesh nireke oder lechush mepinesh machshir kapel zriya. Hold on. Why would they actually disagree? Even according to the opinion that says, that's marit ayin, it looks like he's hoeing. Wouldn't he also say it's a problem that you are preparing the banks for planting, right? He is actually doing that. So we'd have to agree with that too. So therefore, it would still be not allowed. Ela, so another possibility that would be a difference between them, right? And now assuming that everyone agrees that you can't, it would be a problem for preparing the bank for planting. The question is, do you say the marit ayin or not? Let's say I take the dirt from the channel and I put it far away. In that case, I have no problem that look, I'm preparing the bank, right? I'm taking the dirt far away. And so I don't have to worry about that. Making dirt ready for planting. So that opinion will have no problem. I'm not preparing any dirt for planting. But if it looks like I'm hoeing, it still looks like I'm hoeing, right? And so that would be prohibited. Okay. Now we ask the question the other way around. Even according to the person who says the main problem is preparing dirt for planting, wouldn't he also worry for the marit ayin that it looks like he's hoeing? No, he would answer, if I'm hoeing, that's just to soften the dirt in its place. Then I'm putting it back in its place. Here, if I'm taking the dirt and moving it all the way elsewhere, there's no marit ayin, that doesn't look like hoeing. And the other opinion would say, yeah, even that does look like hoeing. I'm still taking this tool and putting it in the dirt. So person's not watching the whole process. And he still would say that, yes, I am doing that. Okay, now regarding this machloket, one of the opinions was that the reason I can't make a new channel is because it looks like I'm hoeing. Amemar, in his version of the Mishnah, this reason was actually inserted into the Mishnah. Most likely, it's not our Mishnah is the original, doesn't have a reason. But then sometimes when someone gives a reason, as they're reciting the Mishnah, they insert, maybe unconsciously, they insert the reason that we gave to it. So Amimad had it in his Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can't make a new channel because it looks like you are hoeing. And because of that, since that was his version, now he raised the contradiction between another statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. See, if you don't have it in the Mishnah, then we don't know his reason, so we might have a different reason. But if you have it in the Mishnah, and that's the reason, then we're going to have the following problem. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really have this Marit Ayin thing that's going to look like he's hoeing if you're making a new channel? Would mean he, another a Mishnah in Shivit 3:3, contradicts this. Oseh Adam et Zivlo, Osad, Rabbi Meir, Osed, Ad She Ya'amik Shelosha Tepachim, Ad She Yagbir Shelosha Tepachim, Haya Lo Davar Mu'at, Mosif Alav, Ve'holech. We're still getting to Be'al Zaman Zariah, but the case is a person has manure for fertilizer, and he wants to collect it during the Shevi'it year. He wants to make it into a pile. Can he do that? Rabbi Meir says, no, you're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to fertilize the field. And so wherever you put it, you're fertilizing that area. Here's how you can get around it. If you make a ditch that's 3 tefachim deep, and you put the manure in there, then it's clear that it's there for storage. Or if I make a little hill and put it up high, and then also it's not going on the whole field, it's just going there on this platform. Or if there was already a little bit of fertilizer in this area, I could put on top of it because if that area is already fertilized, I'm not fertilizing it any further. That's in that case permitted. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he mostly agrees. Osed ad she'amik shelosha, ad she'yagbia shelosha, od she'yiten al ha'sela. Yes, he also says you have to either make it 3 down or 3 tefachim higher, or put it on top of a rock where it won't be fertilizing anything. Okay, in any case, you see that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you're permitted to dig a hole 3 tefachim deep in order to fill it up with your manure, animal manure, so that you can have it for fertilizer. According to that, it's permitted to make a ditch. But yet over here, how come you don't say, oh, it's marit ayin, it looks like hoeing, right? You just said it's not allowed, but here it is allowed. How are we going to respond? One answer of one of these Amoraim is, no, he already had a ditch 3 tefachim beforehand from the 6th year, and now he's going to go and fill it up with the fertilizer. Another says that this manure will prove itself. Since he's piling up this fertilizer in this one spot, it's clear to everyone looking that he's not mean. It doesn't mean to hoe the field, but rather he's using this as a storage pile for the manure that he'll then use next year. Okay, good. And so now we get to the next section of the Mishnah. Metakanina tamilkul kalot bamoed. Something, a channel that was already there but was damaged, you can fix it up and remove the dirt or rocks and stuff that fell into it. My mekul kalot, what does that mean that it was damaged? For example, let's say I have a channel that was only 1 tefach deep when I get to it, and then I can make it deeper as 6 tefachim, right? So that was originally it was 6 tefachim. I didn't use it for a while for the whole, whole season. It got filled up 5 tefachim, and now there's only 1 tefach there. So I can go and dig out 5 more in order to do that. In other words, if it got filled in totally, then it's like digging a new one. But if there's 1 tefach, I can redig it up to 6 tefachim. Okay, that's the same with Rabbi Abba. We're going to analyze this. What about other cases? What about other ratios? So pishita chasi tefach al shelosha tefachim kevan decha de la avar maya la kelum hu. So I know if it's already 1, I can make it 6. What if it's half a tefach is remains deep? Can I dig it 3 tefachim? It's the same ratio, right? 1 to 6 is the same ratio as a 1/2 to 3. But that wouldn't be good because water cannot actually flow if it's only 3 tefachim deep. And therefore, I'm not making anything useful. So for sure, that would not be allowed. 1 to 6 is allowed. 1/2 to 3 is not allowed. Tefachayim al shenem asar, dekat harach tirchayi tera la. And also, it's clear that, let's say, the ditch was originally 12, and now it got filled up and it's only 2 tefachim deep. Can I dig the other 10? No, in that case, also not allowed, because I'm taking two, even though it's the same ratio, 1 to 6 is the same as 2 to 12, but nevertheless, it's a lot more exertion to have to dig from 2 all the way to 12, I have to dig out 10 more. And so I cannot assume based on the Bi'aba that that would be allowed. So that would not be allowed. So that we know. But here's the question that we don't know. Tifachayim al shiv'a mahu. What if originally it was 70 and then it got filled in 5 and now there's 2 left open, right? There's 2 tefachim that are currently dug out and I want to fix it and make it 7. So 5 more. What about that case? Hacha chamisha kama amik v'hacha chamisha kama amik. On the one hand, it's actually... the ratio is even less, and the amount I'm digging is exactly the same. Going from 1 to 6 means I have to dig out 5 tefachim, and going from 2 to 7, I'm also digging out 5 tefachim. So it's the same amount of work, and it's a very nice ditch. It's useful, so therefore it's allowed. Or because the whole thing is 1 tefach deeper, I have to bend over more in order to dig it out. And so maybe only 1 to 6 is permitted, but 2 to 7 is not permitted because it's deeper. This was left standing, this discussion, whether that is permitted or not. All right, and last paragraph has to do with doing things for the public, which the Mishnah said is allowed, right? Even if it requires more work, but it's a public need, that's permitted on Chol HaMoed. So here's some examples. Abaye shera libnei bar hamdach leshachufei nahara. Abaye permitted the people of bar hamdach. Apparently they would travel and they asked him this question. He said, "Yeah, you can remove branches from a river on Chol HaMoed." The bir miyash shera lehu libnei sechavta lemichra nahara. It permitted people of this place to dredge out a river that became blocked because they need that river. Rashi said, yeah, people in Matam Echsiyah can clean out this area near the Burnitz River so that it could flow. Since many people come and drink from it, so this is the same as a public need. And so he permitted it. After all, our Mishnah itself taught that you're allowed to do, fix roads and do anything that's needed for the public is permitted, even though for private citizen wouldn't be allowed. For the public, so they can drink and enjoy Yom Tov, they can do this work on so they can enjoy Chol HaMoed, they can do this work even on Chol HaMoed. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.